You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 5, Episode 3 tonight, and we've got an absolutely jam-packed show to bring you big names into interviews as ever. We're going to look back on the opening results in the Premier Division. We'll look ahead to this weekend's games. And, of course, we've got the return of the First Division to chat about as well. As ever, it's myself, Kieran Burke, hosting tonight's show, and I'm delighted to be joined again by Gary Riley and by John Breyer. Lads, how's the crack tonight?
Not too bad at all, Kieran. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks very much, I have to say.
Yeah, happy birthday. Obviously, I've just fouled up the first take of this and found out it was your birthday. So you normally have it all over social media. So happy birthday, mate.
Yeah, don't worry, John. I didn't miss the fact you didn't leave it on my Facebook page. So I'm going to give you a rough time tonight on the show.
Just for a change.
As I said, we've got some unbelievable guests tonight. We're going to hear from Stephen O'Donnell. I was at the Pats press conference today. Had a chat with him about the result against Rovers and the game against Pats are playing Drogheda this weekend. Patrick McElhinney, I spoke to him today at the Dundalk's press conference. So that's how I spent my birthday today, bouncing around all these respective press conferences. Also spoke to Shane Keegan up in Oriel today. We're going to hear from Declan Devine. I spoke to him after that really poor performance from Derry on the opening night down in Bishopsgate. And looking forward to bringing listeners, particularly our First Division listeners, an interview with Con Murray, the chairman of Treaty United, who will make their bow at League of Ireland level this weekend when they take on Bray Wanderers. But let's get straight into the Premier Division review. John, I'll go to you first. Shamrock Rovers 1, Pats 1. What was your analysis of this one?
Yeah, well, it was. I thought Rovers were well on top of this one. I thought Graham Burke was having a good game. He seemed to be at the centre of everything that he did. Pat's defence, a little bit ropey at times. I think they were a bit guilty trying to overplay out and nearly got caught a couple of times. But against the run of play, Pat's took the lead. Pico Lopez, own goal in the 87th minute. But a deserved equaliser late on when Vitislav Jaros, who had an outstanding game, I thought. He looks a great signing from Liverpool there on loan. Finally conceded a late-headed equaliser from Aaron Green. So a deserved equaliser for that one.
Yeah, it was a monstrous header from Aaron Green, who came off the bench in place of Gaffney. So he's probably looking to get that starting position now nailed down as the season goes on. But Gary, I'm not sure I'd agree with John there. Rovers well on top. I thought a draw was more than fair in this one.
Yeah, I thought it was a very poor game for an opener on RTE. I don't know what I expected for the first game of the season, but I suppose from a Pats perspective, I was kind of happy that they've seemed to iron out some of the guff they were at last year. They seem to be more assertive and more solid. But John was right, they had a few hairy moments at the back, but that seems more like the stuff that they can iron out quite easily as the season goes on. But yeah, like even and I know we mentioned that keeper already. I won't try and spell it or say his name. I thought he did quite well for his first game.
He made one brilliant save, didn't he? Where Graham Burke took a shot, was deflected on the edge of the area, and it looked like it was going into the bottom corner. You could just see how quick his feet were to get across the line and tap it around the post.
His feet were brilliant for that one, I think. Or to be fair, RT had a good view of that, of his feet moving across. I think it was zoomed in on the keeper and. It was just nice to see that he was able to react. So there was some good performance. I thought Mandrew was a bit in and out of the game. I know it was his first game for Rovers and Talla. So, you know, it's going to take some time for these fellas to gel. As I said, you know, last week, different characters coming into a different type of setup from Bowes. So it'll take a while. But look, I suppose Pats will be the happier of the two teams, even though they went 1-0 up so late in the game. I think they'll be happy enough with the point away at Talla.
Yeah, we had our first edition of the BTS Boot Room on our social channels after this game on Friday night, where I was joined by a Pats fan and a Rovers fan to discuss the game. And we'll be doing that again for this Friday night's live game between Sligo and Waterford event, or Waterford and Sligo, if anyone wants to tune into that one. But I made the point, Gary, that if you take Coughlin out of that team, there doesn't seem to be a real potent goal scorer. Now, we could go through a lot of the teams in the league and say about that. A lot of teams are looking for that, you know, 10, 15, 20 man, 20 goal a man season. But are we worried about Pat's goal scoring this season, perhaps?
Look, they did well to get Coughlin in. I think he's going to be a big signing for them. He's going to be relied upon a lot by Stephen O'Donnell. So there's probably a lot of pressure on him. You know, he had an all right season last year at Sligo, and you know he's coming up the Pats now, who had a very poor season last year. So there is a big bit of pressure on him to try and deliver. So I think goals will still be a problem for them. They'll need a lot of players around the like of Coughlin to come in and perform and give him service that he needs to get on the score sheet in games.
Yeah, so they're probably looking for a lot of goals from midfield, I'd imagine. They've certainly got the players there, Forrester, yeah. Matty Smith, Robbie Benson, so on. But John, when you look at their first 11 that'll start every week, I think it's very, very strong. But when I just look at the squad at St. Pat's, I'd be slightly worried about them maintaining any sort of challenge this year.
Yeah, they look a bit thin, don't they, in certain positions. I mean, you've spoke clearly there about the forward positions.
A couple of young players on the bench the other night as well, so that kind of amplifies it as well.
That's right, and you just worry maybe if they get a couple of injuries to key players, Pats, that they could be starting to rely on the younger lads as well. So, that is a fair point with them.
Yeah, look, overall, not a bad start. I think Gary's right. Pats will be happier with the point than Shamrock Rovers. So what we'll do now, we'll hear from their manager, Stephen O'Donnell. I spoke to him a little bit earlier on today.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
How's it going, Kieran? How are you?
Not too bad. Look, I think everyone accepts it was a really good performance in the last game against Shamrock Rovers. Probably didn't create as many chances as you would have liked. So I'd imagine now this being your first home game of the season, that's probably been a big focus in the week in training, is turning that possession into real clear-cut chances in the final third.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think either team created loads of clear-cut chances. I think even Rovers maybe did a few more attempts on goal, but I don't think there was any real gilt edge clear-cut chances created. But I thought it was a very good game for the first game of the season regards intensity and tempo-wise and the pace of the game. I thought it watched like a proper game, you know, and watching it back as well, I thought there was a real good intensity about it. So I'm not sure loads of teams go to Tala and create endless opportunities. Definitely something we will sharpen up on, but on the whole, I was delighted with the application and the effort of the boys. And, you know, going back to it, probably most of our lads, with the way it was, with the sort of embargo on pre-season friendly, so January the 22nd, I think it was, and with the sort of our smaller squad, we had 4 pre-season games and trying to give everyone games, etc. A lot of our lads only probably had 190 minutes under their belts pre-season-wise, and that was obviously against first division opposition, whereas Shamrock Rovers, I suppose, would have had the luxury of playing two teams every any given friendly. So, you know, and then they obviously had the Dundalk game, a competitive game the week before, so all their players would have had 4/5, 90 minutes under their belt, and I think you can't undervalue that either. So I'm expecting that game, that 90 minutes that our lads got at that pace and intensity that it was played at, you know, should bring us on massively.
You'll know yourself from doing these last few press conferences, there's been a lot of attention, a lot of questions about your new goalkeeper, Jaros, and you said it yourself there, Rovers, they didn't really trouble your goal too much during the game, but he made one fantastic save. I think it was Graham Burke had a shot from the edge of the area, got a deflection, he moved his feet really quick across the line to tip it around the post, so a decent debut for him. I'm sure he would have loved the clean sheet to start his League of Ireland career, but overall you must be pleased with how he's settling into Irish football.
Yeah, Vic settled in really well, probably mature beyond his years, good head on his shoulders, but you know it's only one game, you know, sign of all good players, keepers or outfield players is backing up good performances week on week. So you know it was first game of the season, he can be very happy with his first senior appearance, I suppose his first senior professional debut, so it's something for him to build on now. But you know he's shown all the characteristics in pre-season. That performance wouldn't have been a massive surprise to anyone that's watched him during pre-season and that. So you know he just needs to build on that now.
A new role for John Mountney, he was playing right back on Friday and he really impressed. Is that a role we can expect to see him going forward this season?
Yeah, John's a versatile player, you know. He would have played wing back last year. Obviously, he'd be more synonymous, I suppose, with Dundalk playing wide right. Has played central midfield as well with his time in Dundalk and obviously right back the other night. So where John has really sort of, I suppose, improved would be from when I first sort of knew him was his knowledge of the game, his game intelligence. He's a real student of the game now. He watches a lot of football. So whatever positions you put him in, he knows the movements. Principally, he knows the movements that position requires. And you know, as I said, he really watches football now and takes information on board. And you know, you'd have no worries about putting him anywhere on the field. He'll know what it requires in and out of possession, positionally wise.
Look, finally, Drogheda coming up now for the first home game of the season. There was no away wins actually in the opening round, which probably surprised a few people because there was a lot of talk last year, the fact there's no fans at games, that maybe home advantage isn't as strong as it was. It's a big game for yourselves, obviously, first home game. But what do you make of that this season? Do you think we'll see a trend where maybe away results are more strong than they were previously?
Yeah, I think naturally, I suppose, without a partisan home crowd spurring the team on and even maybe putting officials under pressure and whatnot, there's more of a neutral feel to it, no matter where the game's being played. Obviously, with no crowd there definitely is that feeling. So I think it's a trend you've seen all across Europe with the no fans in, that maybe the huge home advantage or the big home advantage that would have been in previous years, as I said, with a full house, and that is ebbing away a little bit. But familiarity still of your own ground for your players to play on the pitch, to play on every second week should be a bit of a help.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stephen. Best of luck at the weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, Hugh.
Okay, lads, let's move on to Drogheda against Waterford. This was officially the first game of the new League of Ireland season. Again, it wasn't a great spectacle in truth, but I thought Drogheda were thoroughly deserving winners of this, Gary.
Thoroughly deserving, probably, yeah. I probably wouldn't agree with that. I thought they deserved to edge it, really. It wasn't a great game.
Yeah, well, let me rephrase. If any side deserved to win it, it was Drogheda. They had more of the ball. Yeah. They had more of the dangerous moments. I was very, very unimpressed with Waterford.
But it wasn't... Yeah, so was I. But I think we all expected that they're going to have a bit of a rubbish season. So they proved us right so far. I know it's only one game... down, but I didn't see anything from them that is going to say any different to how their season is going to fare for the rest of the year. I think though with Drogheda, I was kind of expecting more. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was just expecting more. I didn't expect them to go out and beat Waterford 5-0 in the very first game, but I thought that they would be more clinical with some of their finishing. But look, the first game of the season, I don't think they'll care that much. A good 1-0 win, clean sheet, starting off on the right foot for a promoted side, so they'll be happy enough with that. Very unfortunate goal, of course, for Waterford. If they're expected to have a bad season, which I fully expect them to do have, that's very tough to take after holding out for a large part of the game. So hopefully they'll be able to dust themselves down and come back next week.
Yeah, Gary's not getting too excited there by drug start, but I thought there was plenty of positive signs, John. Even when Dinny Corcoran came off the bench, I thought he looked really lively. I think he'll give Christy Lyons a real good run for his money this season for that starting position. And I thought Ronan Murray as well picked the ball up in some really dangerous areas, seemed to win a lot of second balls on the edge of the area. Now, again, Drogheda didn't create that many clear-cut chances on the night. The goal they got was slightly fortunate, but I saw enough from Drogheda for them to build on that and have a really good season, as we kind of expected, really.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen enough of Chris Lyons to know that he's going to score goals at this level. I'm pretty confident he'll step up and he'll do well. And I think he could keep Dinny out of the team. I think he's a good player. We've seen him score a lot of goals in that first division. So
I'm not sure. Just when I looked at Lyons the other night, he was doing some really good. He reminded me a bit of Dobbsy, Aaron Dobbs at Longford. Really good hold up play, links up well with the midfielders, but is he going to get enough goals? I mean, if Corcoran comes in and gets two or three off the bench in a couple of games, you know, it gives Tim Clancy a decision. But it's great for Clancy to have them options, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's maybe where we were saying that Pats haven't got those options. So,
yeah,
you know, they've really seemed to have recruited well to Drogheda, and they look to have a decent, strong squad. And like I said last week, I don't think there'll be any trouble, but I was pretty disappointed with Waterford. I think they'll have wanted to go to Drogheda and get something, you know, first match of the season. And they shouldn't be just trying to hold out for a 0-0 draw. You know, it's the kind of match that they, you know, if they've got any intention of doing well this season, they were wanting to go to Drogheda and get at least a point.
Like I say,
it was an unfortunate own goal. It was a fine cross, though, from James Brown, who'd He must feel good after that one.
Very good, John. But I have to say, just on his defensive partners there, James Brown's partners, Dan Massey and Daniel O'Reilly, I was actually talking to Kevin Doherty the other day, and I said, very rare you see a centre-back partnership with two left-footed centre-backs, but that looks a really, really good partnership there, O'Reilly and Massey.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's been solid. And we know a lot about young Daniel, don't we? He was, you know, at Longford for a while, and he looks solid enough at Harps, and you know, he's got the experience now. He should be a decent defender at this level. So yeah, I mean, it's promising. And like I say, I don't think there'll be any bother this season. I think they've recruited well, and I think they've got a good strong defence there as well.
Let's move on to Sligo against Dundalk. This also ended one apiece. And I spoke to Patrick McElhenney a little bit earlier on. We'll be playing that audio now in a couple of seconds. But Gary, I pointed out to him, I was surprised. I know Dundalk weren't fantastic in this game, but I was surprised with the level of negativity from a lot of Dundalk supporters online after the game. I mean, traditionally, Dundalk are actually quite slow starters to the league. They never usually win on the opening day. Definitely not in the last couple of years anyway, aside from last year when they bet Derry. But they weren't great, Dundalk, but I'm sure they look to build and improve on it. Would it be fair to say Sligo probably come out just the happier of the two sides, or would both sides feel like they maybe left 2 points behind them here?
Well, I think Sligo, with that rubbish at the end or that offside call, I haven't seen it back, but from seeing stills of it, it looks to be a bit of a farce of a decision. But from that perspective, I think Sligo would be probably felt hard done by. Look, with Dundalk fans, it's not surprising that they'll be up in arms over the first game of the season. Back to that burning building job we were on about last year. So I'm sure all my Dundalk fans will be delighted to hear me talk about that again. But like, even the goal that they did score was a total mess at the back from Sligo. There was no need to play out that ball.
McGinty, I'm a big fan of McGinty, and we actually spoke about him on this podcast last year. Has been someone that Dundalk should probably be looking to sign. He had a really poor night, didn't he? His distribution was awful, as we've seen for that goal, giving it to Greg Bulger, despite the fact Bulger was marked at the time. Bulger stretches for the ball, can't get enough control on it. It runs to McElhenney. McElhenney sticks it in the net. But aside from that, there was a couple of times he rushed off the line, McGinty, as well, and he was let off the hook. So he had a really poor start to the season.
He did, and that's not what you're looking for, you know, starting your first game of the season as a keeper. You want a bit of a solid performance. So hopefully that won't be weighing on his mind, because I do think he's a good keeper and he has a good future. But it was just really poor distribution. It was, you know, we've always said that keepers, you know, they can see all the pitch all of the time. So you can't be making those types of crazy decisions and putting your player, you know, your colleague under so much pressure when the keeper is already under pressure. They talk a lot about hoofball in the league and stuff like that, but it's better than watching that rubbish and conceding a goal. But look, I think Sligo probably will still feel hard done by considering that offside mess at the end. So
yeah, unfortunately, I've been trying to get footage of it somewhere, but I haven't been able to watch it back. So again, we can only go by the stills. It certainly looked a poor decision. John, would you agree that Sligo are probably the more disappointed side here?
Well, I think so. And like I say, I didn't see that at the end neither, so I haven't got the benefit of that. I think there'll be poor McGinty. I mean, that was an awful mistake, wasn't it? I mean, I think we've gone to town on that. From what we, you know, that's well below the standards he's normally at. And but it's great to see your friend Romeo Parks back in the league, and a great header from that free kick for the equaliser. Yeah. They'll be delighted with Parks getting off the mark in that match.
Yeah, he could be the man for Sligo this year, couldn't he?
Yeah, he looks really strong and powerful, doesn't he? You know,
finishing a time lets him down. He's definitely quick and powerful, as you say.
Yeah,
he seems to blow hot and cold. He'll go through a spell of getting three or four goals on the bounce, and then he might go five or six games without.
Yeah, more like he's wearing a corner flag than the goal sometimes. But but yeah, that was a real powerful header. And yeah, you can question mark over the Dundalk marking, but sometimes they're very difficult to stop, those free kicks that are swung in like that.
Yeah, I know. When I spoke to Shane Keegan today, he was still fuming over the way they conceded that goal, because you know, there's so much height in the side now that that's something they shouldn't be getting caught with. But they were caught out badly, letting Romeo get a run across the front post. He still has a lot of work to do from the position he's at, in fairness, but he gets plenty of purchase on the header and it flies into the net. But I suppose a mixed bag there for both sides. Let's hear from Patrick McElhenney. He spoke to me a little bit earlier on about the result up in the Showgrounds.
I'm here at Oriel Park on a press day with Patrick McElhenney ahead of the game against Finn Harps this weekend. Dream start of your season with that early goal in Sligo?
I personally, it was a good thing, but I think collectively, I think it wasn't ideal, and we didn't really play that well, to be honest, so we'll be looking for a better performance.
I was actually surprised a lot of the kind of negative social media from a lot of Dundalk fans, but I suppose that's what comes with playing for a club this size of so much expectation. So
we're here to win games and they won trophies, so sort of drawing away to Sligo sometimes is not good enough, and I tend to agree.
Traditionally though, Dundalk have actually started quite slowly on the opening day. I think bar last year when you had that win against Derry, I think the previous three seasons Dundalk hadn't won their opening game and they didn't fare too badly in the end. So why do you think that is, that Dundalk seem to start slowly on the opening day?
I'm not too sure. It's a hard one to put your finger on really, but obviously not having probably our best player, Mickey, you know, that could be a factor as well. So, but look, as I said, we're sort of judged on winning games and we need to get off to better starts, and look, we have a home game now to look forward to and kick on from there.
And the Harps coming in off the back of that great win against Bowes as well, so they're always a difficult opponent to face, but they'll be particularly difficult this weekend.
They're a good side. Obviously, Higgsy and Ollie, they've done unbelievably with them over recent years now, and it's going to be a tough game. It's never ever easy here or up in Ballybofey, so look, we'll be ready for it and look forward to it.
And a lot of people are talking about yourself this season, saying they'd love to see Patrick McElhenney have a full season injury-free and show what you can really do in this league, because we all know your talents. How are you feeling at the moment physically? Obviously, you played 70 minutes or so in Sligo.
I was a sort of slow build-up from pre-season. Played like 30, 40, 60, 70, I think it was now. So, look, I feel really good. I have no complaints, and I know what I'm capable of if I do get a full season. So that's down to me individually. But most importantly, I'm here to help the team, and if I stay fit, I think that'll happen.
Obviously, we're a long way into the stage of playing without fans now, so I'm sure the players are getting more used to it by the week. But even now, a 5:45 kickoff is this Friday night. So is it hard to get up for those sort of games?
Not really, no, I don't think so. Obviously, with no fans, it's not brilliant, let's be honest. They're a big miss. So the fact that there's no fans at both times, it's not really a factor, I don't think, no.
And still, a lot of new players still bedding in, but particularly the overseas arrivals seem to be bedding in nicely at the club. How is the dynamic in the dressing room this year?
It's grand. Like, it's obviously a lot of new players, but it's something we're used to be honest. We tend to lose a few and bring in a few, so they've been great. They've settled really well, really good lads. So time will tell now how successful we're going to be as a team.
Is it the most international dressing room you've been in at Oldham? How many overseas players was there in that team?
It was quite similar. I think Oldham there was loads as well. Right. So I'm actually used to it. But no, look, we're looking forward.
Is it exciting? It's nice to see players coming in from other leagues and maybe how they've done things in the past and taking little bits off each other.
For sure. I think now, especially if we're going to be successful, it'll be a good thing, and bringing in players from other countries, and especially top internationals, it could benefit the league.
Patrick, thanks for speaking to me.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to Finn Harps. What a start to their season. We thought this would be a tricky assignment for Bohemians, and indeed it was a 1-0 win for Finn Harps. Gary, last week you said Keith Long he'd have the players on notice exactly what this game was going to be about, but apparently he didn't, because they fell into the trap, didn't they? They had all the ball, they had plenty of chances, but they failed to take them, and then they got done. You know, it was a little bit like we spoke about McGinty. This was a goal that was put on a plate for Finn Harps, and Keith Long coming out after the game and blaming the pitch. You know, the pitch obviously was a little bit bobbly. You could see that for the goal, but as you said, he should have had the players going up here knowing exactly what they were going to expect. It seems they were just looking for excuses.
Oh, completely. It's no surprise. Like, I know the staff up there work very hard on that pitch, but it's not a great pitch. It never has been. So it wasn't a surprise for anybody that was the pitch. If he's going to blame the pitch, it wasn't a carpet last week or last season. It was always bobbly. It was always under pressure, that pitch. So for him to come out and start moaning about the pitch, it doesn't wash at all. You know, it was a crazy mistake. Happens. That's just life. I think he needs to concentrate more on his own team's inadequacies.
Yeah, I mean, even if the pitch was a carpet, that mistake still would have happened.
Yeah, exactly. It was a rubbish pass.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it was a carpet or a car park, it doesn't really matter. It's on the player to make sure that the ball is passed back properly. But again, that pitch has never been a carpet. So what was he expecting? You know, if his goal was going to be a bubbly pitch, it was always going to be a war or a battle, let's it more so, against Harps going up there. And I said nil-nil last week, it wasn't too far off, and it was just a mistake that got Harps the win. So I think if Keith Long concentrated more on his own players' performance, he'd be better off. I don't think that helps at all. We'll see. I was talking to a friend of mine, Alan. He was watching the game, a Bulls fan, and he actually said to me today, I was telling him I was coming on the podcast, and he was saying if they were at it today, he still doesn't think that they would have scored. He was very disappointed with their performance, and I suppose he did mention like a Georgie Kelly, is he going to be the man?
Going to be my next point. I'll push it over to you, John, because we were talking about kind of a negative reaction on social media from the Dundalk fans. There was a very negative reaction from Bulls fans, and I've seen a lot of them mentioning the performance of Georgie Kelly. We kind of highlighted last week why we think that Kelly probably will come good for Bulls, that if he doesn't, we're worried about where the goals will come from. And I know we're saying that about a lot of teams at the moment. There's not many proven goal scorers out there, but it definitely looks to be a worry for Bulls. But in saying that, they could go and put five past Longford on Saturday, couldn't they?
Well, I mean, we're so good at it. We're writing all these teams off already after one match. But I tell you what, the pitch was not to blame for that one. He can only blame James Kinnerty and that howler of a back pass. I know. And all credit to Foley, because he still had quite a bit to do, and he rounded the keeper really, really well to get that goal. But
yeah, you could actually see the ball bobbling away from Foley. He actually did very well to control his shot like he did and get it into the net. So you could see the pitch wasn't great from that clip alone. But as we said, that can be no excuse for this result for Bohemians.
No, and Gary's spot on. Keith needs to go back and analyse his own team's performance rather than moaning about the pitch. It's the same for the two teams, you know. And you know what you're getting when you go up to Harps and... you know, that's a great result for Harps. They'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, let's move on to Longford against Derry. Myself and Gary were lucky enough to be at this one. And I have to say, Longford never, ever looked in danger, Gary, did they? This was a very comfortable 2-0 win. It could have been an awful lot more.
Yeah, it really could have been. It could have been 2 or 3-0 at half time. I think some good work down the left. We were 1-0 up at this point, and I think, I can't remember, was it Aaron Balder that passed it across to Dean Byrne, and he buried it just wide. So it could have been two or three at half time. I was really, when looking at the team sheet before the game, I was like,
yeah,
right, Dara,
you've surprised us here. Yeah.
I might need to impart some wisdom to you. But I think Dara blew me away with the performance of the team and the setup of the team. He got it absolutely spot on. Now, that's not to say Derry were much of a challenge. They did have a nice patch in the first half. They got a series of corners and free kicks, and they were very dangerous from those. And you know, they got second and third corners from multiple, you know, a few of those chances. So I think they'll be possibly disappointed that they didn't make more use of those set pieces. And of course, as we've said many times, that Longford Town would be disappointed that they were losing on those set piece chances. But the performance from Longford Town, from the keeper to all the subs that came on, was exceptional. A real Premier Division performance, really. The level of fitness,
That was probably
organization.
Maybe we weren't that surprised about the level of fitness, because obviously we're around the camp a little bit and we kind of know, you know, the regime and that. But I suppose people that were watch LOI at home and they've seen how Longford started the game, came out of the traps like a house on fire, pressing really well. They're probably thinking, wow, this is good, but can they maintain it for 90 minutes? They looked the far, far fitter team than Derry, and that's probably surprising.
Oh, that's
the surprising thing.
Yeah, they obliterated Derry in that regard. Well, they obliterated them in all regards in that game. But their fitness was outrageous. I couldn't get over. I know we talk about Aid Irvine and his tenacity and his desire. You know, that his fitness was up to the same level as both of those things in that game. He was all over the pitch all the time. It was incredible. Some of the challenges he was putting in, recovering the ball, breaking up the play, it was just brilliant. Now, just not to pick him out, there were some brilliant performances all across the pitch. Aaron O'Driscoll, Joe Gorman. Poor old Lee Stacey had nothing to do except one save from Parkhouse. That was fairly routine, like he parried it up and caught it. So I thought just from every player that was involved was exceptional. Just really, I wasn't disappointed at all. But from a Derry perspective, I don't know what their season's going to turn out to be. If they turn in a performance like that again, or, you know, in the next few weeks, I'm going to have to feel very concerned for Declan Devine.
Yeah, we'll hear from...
just a completely toothless performance.
We'll hear from Declan very shortly. John, I'm going to bring you in on this. Longford, I thought it was the perfect performance. I said it to Darragh Doyle after. He didn't really want to commit because, you know, he's a very modest... he's very modest, but I said to him, that was our best performance under your tenure.
It was... And what got me was the intensity of the Longford play right from the start. I mean, Derry obviously came with a plan, and it was just blown on the water because they had no time to settle on the ball, no time to play any kind of slow tempo, passing type of game, because Longford were just snarling at them whenever Derry got a hint of possession. And, you know, it was great to see the likes of young Grimes step up. You know, a couple of us maybe thought, well, will he be able to make that jump in the level? And you know, he had a good game, but Longford were far the better team. They were well set up. As Gary said, we raised a few eyebrows when we saw the team sheet, but you know, fair play to Derek. He had them set out right, and they thoroughly deserved the 2-0 win, and it could have been more.
Yeah, let's hear from the Derry City manager, Declan Devine. He spoke to me after the game at Bishopsgate last Saturday.
Now I'm here on the Bishopsgate pitch with the Derry City boss, Declan Devine, after a 2-0 win for Longford Town. Declan, Longford came out with the traps very, very strongly. Were you surprised with how your team, they didn't really seem to deal with it very well early on?
No, we certainly didn't deal with it. I'm not surprised. We told the guys about the intensity that Longford would come at us with. I think when you see the honesty about Longford tonight, it was something that I knew and told the guys. But I think we were a bit shell-shocked to go behind so early in the game. And we never really responded. We never showed enough character to come back from that. And to be honest, we were second best. We were second best. Longford deserved the 3 points. I thought the endeavour and work rate and their hunger far outweighs ours tonight. And that's a major disappointment for me. I think we're better than what we showed tonight. I think we've individually got better performances on us than what was on display. I think we were easy to play against tonight, and that is something that we'll have to take away and make sure that doesn't happen again.
As you said there, you're probably second best in the first half, and I'm sure at half time there was probably words exchanged in the dressing room, and you're looking to come out and maybe change the pattern of the game. Is it fair to say your team, they failed to do that, the second half continued along the same lines as the first?
I think we played slightly better, but not good enough. I thought we looked as if we were crying out for a better character. We were crying out for somebody to grab the game by a scruff from our point of view. But look, we haven't created anything in the game noteworthy. We've put a couple of decent balls on from set plays, but that's not enough. We've got to be more on the front foot. We've got to defend better from front to back in the way that we did in the game. But we've also got to create from back to front more opportunities for our front players. And tonight we didn't do that. And that gives us now a week or two now to get ourselves organised for the next one to try and improve those aspects.
Your team did look dangerous from set pieces at the time. So even when you're 1-0 down in that game, there's still a chance you can get back into it. Were you disappointed with the nature of the second goal? Perhaps your goalkeeper could have done slightly better with the free kick from Ed Irvine before it's turned in by Gorman?
Look, I think first and foremost, the two goals we gave away we're really disappointed with. But, you know, we got to accept that. We got to make sure that those opportunities don't happen again. We have to make sure that our mindset is better than what it was. You know, I thought that we had weathered a bit of a storm. I thought they had a couple, two, three, four good chances in the game. We felt coming into the game we'd be aggressive enough to attack a few set plays. But I just think our ability to play through the thirds, our willingness to pass the ball and trust each other with the ball wasn't really there. But look, this could be the best thing that happened this week. We have to make sure now that we get back on the training pitch and work extremely hard to get better, because I do genuinely believe we've got good players. We've got a lot of good good players here. I think Parkhouse, Fitzgerald and Akintunde are a real handful whenever we give them the service. I think our midfield tonight were overran by the energy and legs of Longford. But I trust a bunch of players that we have. I think we will get better. I believe we will get better. And look, as I say, this might be something that we'll reflect on and say, right, okay, let's not make it happen again.
And it looks like you'll have a little bit of a break before your next game, I think I'm right in saying. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. I would like a game next week. Obviously, the champions were coming to town, but we can't do anything about that. As far as I know, the game will be off because our first choice goalkeeper's away at World Cup qualifiers, which is fantastic for him. But for me, you know, we've got to just get back down to the nitty-gritty of it. Air Trusty League's an unforgiving league. You've got to play with aggression. You've got to play with physicality. You've got to play with composure on the ball. All things that I actually believe this bunch of players have. So, look, we'll take the next week or so and get ourselves ready for Waterford.
Declan, thanks for speaking to me.
Gentlemen.
Good man. Fair play. All right.
For our latest podcast, video content and exclusive columns from Stephen Henderson, Connor Hoey and James Rogers, visit BetweenTheStripes.net.
Okay, First Division fans, it's time to talk about the opening weekend of the season, and we're going to start with the Cork Derby. It's Cork against Cove. John, I'll go to you for this one first. I don't think a couple of years ago we would have ever expected to be talking about a Cork Derby in the First Division, but here we are.
Well, the only way I could have ever seen it would have been in the top division, because at no stage did Cork look in any danger over the past few seasons, apart from that disastrous season last year. So they find themselves down in this division for a reason, and they won't find Cove an easy pushover. I think we questioned, you know, whether Cove will have a strong enough team this season. They're relying a lot on signings from the Munster Senior League. So it'll be interesting to see how they set up. Cork, I'm not so sure whether they'll harbour any ambitions of promotion this season. I think it'll be a bit of settling into the league. Mm. I think a lot depends on McGlade, if he can pull his form out that scored him all those goals for Longford a couple of seasons ago, then that'll be crucial for them. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Who's the favourites, John?
Well, I've given it a slight edge to Cork just on home advantage, but really, you know, it's first match of the season. It's very difficult to tell. You could throw a coin on this one.
Yeah, I have to agree. You've pointed out there, 7 non-league players have gone into Cove, but they've kept the vast, vast majority of their squad from last season. They've only lost David Hurley, but he is a big loss. But aside from that, they should be quite a strong unit from last season. For Cork City, just looking at some of their players that have come in, former Cove man Paul Hunt has gone in. He'll challenge the likes of McNulty for the number one shirt there. Stephen Beattie goes back in, a legend for his previous spell at the club. And then after that, really, you've got a lot of unknown quantities as well. Jamie Wynn has arrived from Dundalk. They've got Jack Baxter, who's arriving on loan from Preston. Jack Walsh comes in from Avondale. And Jonas Hackenheim comes in from FC Hacka. But he's actually quite experienced, a Finnish under-21 international, and he's played 57 games in Finland. FC Hacka finished 10th last season, so it's hard to know what the quality of that signing is like. But as you said, as John said, Gary, it seems to be a flip of a coin this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to call this at all. I was going to go for a 1-1 draw, just to be firmly on the fence. I don't see how there are so many unknowns in both teams. It's probably too early to say. I think I'd forgotten about Mark McNulty. I can't believe he's still at it. Might be time to step aside, Mark. But look, I think with the like of Stephen Beattie and stuff like that coming back in, I think it's going to be big for Cork City. And I see a lot of people putting them towards the top of the league this year.
Yeah, is that based on reputation more than anything?
I think that's, yeah, exactly, or more, you know, a name rather than any individual or team of players. I don't see how very easily could be toward the top. They probably will be toward the top end of the table, but I just don't see them winning it or running away with it, as some people have been saying. Don't see that at all. They're going to need the like of Midlade, we know about him, to actually, you know, regularly perform. He has done in the past in the First Division. But it's going to be hard to know what type of way they're going to show up come the end of the year.
Yeah, I think I'm going to...
100% sure about Tweed being towards the title, you know, fighting for the title. I just don't see it yet.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'll go for a 1-1 draw myself. So, John, last call on this game goes your way.
Yeah, home win. I'm going to go Cork just to edge it.
It'd be interesting, as you said, if McGlade can find that first division form he showed with Longford. If he can, he could be a big, big player for Cork City this year. Let's move on. This is definitely the game of the opening round in the first division. It's Galway against Shells, the two teams that most are making the title favourites. Very, very unfortunate news out of Galway in the last couple of days. Lombotto has suffered a broken leg in pre-season, so his season is over before it started. And I just wonder, has that swung maybe the title picture towards Shells? Who's going to be Galway's main talisman, John?
Difficult to know, because they've signed quite a lot of players, haven't they? And I'm not so sure who's going to be the main player for them. Who do you see getting the goals this season for Galway, Kieran?
You've got Padraig Cunningham. He's come in. He scored against Longford in pre-season. Other attacking players to come in. Rory Keating, he had a spell in England. He's actually arriving back from Torquay. Ronan Manning, maybe not an out-and-out striker, more of a 10, but a very, very talented player. I suppose you're looking to those sort of players, really, for the goals. Cunningham's a big, tall, physical player. He's actually coming back from playing GAA for Galway, so that'll tell you a bit about his fitness levels and that. So
yeah,
maybe he might be the man that they might look towards now with Lombotto out.
Yeah, it just leaves a bit of a, like you say, it leaves a bit of a gap, doesn't it? I'm sure they were pinning hopes on a few goals on him. And, you know, I had Shells as pre-season favourites. And, you know, that's probably strengthened that. I think at this stage, you know, that Galway may need to go out and get another striker if there's any chance.
Gary, who's done the better transfer business, Galway or Shells?
Oh, I couldn't really say it, to be honest with you. Looking at Galway in pre-season, we covered that game. I thought Galway looked to be a very well set up, ready to go team. I was quite impressed with them. I thought Longford didn't play that badly that day, but I was still impressed with Galway. And I thought these boys will be circling toward the end of the top of the table, rather, come the end of the season. So you know, it's awful news for Lombotto there. He was very unfortunate. And that's an understatement, you know, breaking a leg in pre-season. It's just awful stuff. So, look, I think as regards Shells, I couldn't really put a mark between the two of them yet. I'm going to need to see a bit more as the league goes on. But I think it's going to be them two are going to be fighting it out for number one spot.
Yeah, again, Shells have brought in, and a lot of players have got, there's a big turnover in the squad.
Yeah.
But some of the players I'd look at, like obviously Clark has come in, Brendan Clark, huge experience. That's a good sign and no doubt about it. Yo-Yo Matty, huge potential. Bruna coming down from the Premier with Derry City, that looks to be a good addition. And Maxine Coogan as well, former UCD defender, he's arrived back from England. And again, a player with huge potential. They all look good signings. But then you look at some of the other ones, like Michael O'Connor coming back from Scotland. He's had more clubs than Tiger Woods at this stage. When is he going to settle? When are we going to see the best of Michael O'Connor? Because he's such a hyped up player. Every time he goes to a club, we hear, oh, this will be the club where he'll show his best form. We never see it. There's a couple of other ones there as well. Yeah, Kevin O'Connor as well. He was relegated with Cork last year. He's never shown the form that got him the move to Preston in England. So there's a couple of players you'd have question marks over. And I think the main thing that a lot of people, John, are talking about when they talk about Shelburne is the managerial situation. A lot of people surprised that maybe Ian Morris wasn't pushed aside after their relegation last year.
Yeah, I am as well. Because, I mean, they literally went into free fall the end of last season, didn't they? But they stuck with him, but boy, he needs a good start, Kieran. He has to have a good start, because you know, if he loses his first couple of matches, the knives will be really, really sharp, and he has to get off to a good start.
And you wonder what Alan Reynolds going in there as a system, whether that's actually put more pressure on him as opposed to probably what the goal was, to bring in a bit more experience, because you have to remember Ian Morris is still a relatively rookie manager in this league, but just having the shadow of Alan Reynolds over him, that might be more of a negative than a positive, particularly if they have a poor start, like you said there.
Possible. I do think they have signed well, Kieran. I think the likes of Yo-Yo Mahadi, you know, he'd probably be top scorer in that league this season. He's you know, we know how good he is and how good his partnership was last season with Whelan up front for UCD. So we know what he's capable of. And like you're talking about, the likes of Brendan Clark and Ali Gilchrist, you know, they're solid signings. So, you know, I think they'll have enough for the league this season. But, you know, mark my words, if he gets off to a bad start, he could be out very, very early.
Yeah, I agree with Gary. I think it's a flip of a coin over the two squads. I think that there's brilliant players in both setups there. But where I am at the moment, if I had to lean for a title favourite, I said this on one of the previous shows, I'm probably just leaning slightly Galway's way because of their manager, John Caulfield. Yeah. Vastly experienced. We've seen them in pre-season, as Gary said, they look to be a brilliantly organised unit. They've brought in the likes of Conor McCormick there, because when we saw Galway in the playoffs against Longford last year, we felt that's what they were just missing, was that little bit of know-how, that little bit of craft around the pitch. But they've brought in a couple of experienced heads, and Lisa Fallon's gone in there, a brilliant coach. She's gone in, she had great success with John Caulfield at Cork. I just look at their setup and I think there's maybe less question marks over Galway under Caulfield, whereas I look at Shells and I have a couple of question marks over maybe the managerial setup there.
Yeah, I think with the Galway, you know, when if things get a bit ropey, I don't think there's going to be that much talk about the manager, and I think everyone would have a fair amount of faith in John and pulling it out of the fire with the players that he has. I think he's going to be the difference maker between the two. Yeah, John, you mentioned Yo-Yo Madi and stuff like that. He is a proven goal scorer in the league, will do very well. But if it goes a bit sideways in the first couple of games, will Ian Morris even get the chance to rectify it? I'm not sure. I think a lot of players will have that in the back of their mind. If we don't, you know, pull up our socks, it'll be Alan Reynolds managing us next week. And I think that'll be a very quick transition. Because, you know, Ian Morris brought them down. So I just can't see past Galway. Even in this game, I think they'll be fresher for it or more ready for it than Shelburne. I just think, even with, I know, Kieran, you mentioned Michael O'Connor coming in there, never has done it, hyped up to oblivion and everywhere he's went. Even last year for Waterford, he was gone. He left during the summer, didn't he?
Yeah, he was at Lingfield for a spell in the north as well.
Yeah, so I've been hearing more about that fella and I haven't seen one iota of it. So, yeah, it's great bringing in that, you know, a lot of hyped up player, but as you said, is he going to do it? Yet to see it. So I think Yo-Yo Madi will be the main man for them, but I think just the manager's side of things and, you know, the team gelling and stuff like that, I just see that'll come off way better in Galway.
Okay, prediction time. Give us your two predictions here, lads. John, first to you. First division title and a result for this game.
First division title, Shells, and I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here.
Okay, Gary?
First division title is going to be Galway and a 1-0 win for Galway.
Okay, I will go first division title Galway and I'll go 1-1 draw there as well. Let's move on to UCD against Athlone. UCD lost out in the playoffs, as we know, last year, but they look quite impressive again. They've done some good business, perhaps business that they wouldn't have done in other years, because as we know, for many years they had just this scholarship only system, but they've actually brought a few players in from elsewhere now. Whereas Athlone have recruited a huge amount of players. Schlingerman goes in, Aidan Friel, Shane Barnes that was with Cabin Teely, Derek Daly, Dylan Hand, James Duna, Killian Cantwell, Curtis Byrne, and they did have Tanner Dogan, it looked like on a loan deal from Dundalk, but news breaking this evening from local media up here in Dundalk that deal is now off for some reason, so something has happened there, we're not sure what yet. In terms of outgoing, Droning Manning, a huge loss. Adam Lennon has actually gone across to UCD, and Dean George as well has gone down to Treaty. So we'll start with that loan, John. What do you make of their transfer business?
It's good, isn't it? I mean, one player that really caught my eye, one signing that they made, was Killian Cantwell. I thought he was really good last season for Bray. In the matches I saw against Longford, there was no getting past him, quite simply. He was outstanding, and you know, part of the reason why Longford created nothing against Bray last season. So very surprised to see him at Athlone, but with the likes of Slingerman, we know Aidan Frail's a very competent fullback. Shane Barnes. They've got a bit of potential in the likes of Dylan Hand. We know all about James Dooner. Adam Wick said, that's a really good squad. That's a really good squad. I think they'll do well this season.
I think it's interesting that they brought in a good lump of players there. But like, on one hand, they brought in Dylan Hand, came from Longford. Quite maybe unlucky that he didn't get a new deal. And I thought he played well in a good number of games for Longford last year. But then they bring in like James Duna. I just don't understand that. Bringing in so many players, it seems like, oh, James, you might as well just get in the car as well and come out for a clone while you're at it. Never rated that fella. He's never done it for me. Spent how many years was he at Pats and never performed, really. So
it's going to be... Yeah, it's a bit of a mix and match, isn't it? I mean, you've got Curtis Byrne there as well, who's certainly coming towards the end of his career. Nothing to say that he can't be a very good player in the first division, but I can see what you're saying. They've got some young players, they've got some old players, but I suppose their manager would argue, John, that makes for a good balance in the dressing room.
Of course it is, yeah, and there's some good youngsters coming through, and I think the difference is we were talking earlier about Cove signing, all coming from non-league, whereas the Athlone signings, they're all
established names,
young up and coming or established names. I think it's very, very good signings there, and we improved the facilities down at Athlone with the gym and the like, so I think they could have a pretty promising season.
This is going to be a tough opening game for them, though, isn't it, John? I mentioned some of the business that UCD have done. They've kept the vast bulk of their squad from last year. We obviously know the two main losses, Josh Collins to Waterford, Yo-Yo and Maddie to Shelburne. But Sam Todd from Finn Harps, what a signing that is. Was really surprised to see that deal done, but in a positive sense, because I think UCD have picked up a really good player there. Donald Higgins comes in from Galway. Adam Lennon from Athlone, as I said, a player with plenty of potential. And a player we know quite well, lads, Sean Brennan, has arrived on loan from Southampton. So the fact, Gary, that UCD, they're more familiar with each other, Athlone have a bit of bedding in to do. Are we looking at a home win in this opening game?
Yeah, I think so. I think, it's very easy to talk about Liam Carrigan, but I think he's going to have a big season again. Wonderful player. Scored a good goal against Longford in pre-season as well. But really, seems way beyond his years. Really looking forward to seeing him run a few games, no doubt. And certainly, I really like Sean Brennan when he was with Longford. He was on loan at Rovers last year, was it? I think he was.
Rovers second team, yeah.
Yeah. I think if Sean Brennan gets a good run of games, he's going to be brilliant. I thought he was a fantastic little player for us. I know he's only a young fella on loan, but I think he'll be able to show us stuff in the first division, certainly. So it's a great little signing for UCD.
How far can UCD go this year, John? I expect them to be right up there, to be honest.
I don't think they will. And just looking at the players re-signed, if I'd have been managing Shells, I'd have gone and got Colin Whelan as well. They had such a good partnership last season. That just seemed a no-brainer, and I think Morris should have done that. But I think they'll really miss Yo-Yo. I think they will. But like you say, Sam Todd's great signing. Sean Brennan, yeah, he's quite a good defensive midfielder, and he's still very young, so he'll improve. But maybe there's just a little bit of a lack of quality in that team.
No, I disagree. But, I have to disagree. Yeah. I think they're a well-oiled machine. I think I can see them being as high as third anyway. They'll have no issue getting into the playoffs.
Okay, well, I think it'd be a lower part of playoffs, but yeah, I don't have the high hopes for them that you do.
Okay, let's get a prediction, lads. I'll start first. I'm going to go for a comfortable 2-0 win for UCD. Gary?
I think, I don't know. I think I'll be playing a bit safer, maybe. I think UCD will win, but it'll be a closer one than that, so 1-0 UCD.
Come on, we want to see some goals in the opening weekend of the first division. John, give me something here.
Well, there wasn't many goals last weekend, was there? But I can't see there being too much in this. Go on, I'll go for a 3-2.
Oh, I love it. Love to see it.
Like
just to please you.
And of course, these games can be watched on the new League of Ireland TV service. I think it's £79 for the season pass for the year, but I think you can buy individual passes as well. So that might be a game to tune into, folks. Let's move on. Wexford. against Cabinteely. This is actually an interesting game because Wexford, very, very young outfit this year, and Cabinteely seem to have lost an awful lot of talent over the last couple of years. So could this be a chance, John, for Wexford to get up and running with an early 3 points?
Well, I think they will, actually. I've got this down as a home win, partly because I think it's going to take a while for that Cabinteely side to sort itself out.
And, yeah.
They have, yeah, they seem to have, I mean, they've kept the evergreen Kieran Marty Waters. He's always going to be there. I think he'll still be playing there when he's 70, the way he's going. I think they might struggle a bit this season, Cabo. I think if they were going to go up or really do well, it had to be a couple of seasons ago. Yeah. I don't see them having the same strength this season as in previous seasons. And that's probably the reason why I've gone for Wexford, even though it is like a very youthful setup. Well, we're not calling them that anymore, but youthful setup at Wexford. But I think it'll be scrappy, but I think Wexford may edge it.
You agree with those sentiments, Gary?
I do indeed. I think I've watched Longford play Cabo in pre-season, and Longford were brilliant that day and slaughtered Cabo. But Cabo were absolutely woeful. My God. I didn't think they'd be able to do anything. I certainly was thinking that they'll have a rough old season. I don't see how they're going to, you know, with the players that they brought in, I don't think there's enough there to make a real change in my mind. They brought in Niall Barnes from Longford. He was unlucky last year.
Yeah, he's a good signing.
He is a good signing, but they haven't really brought anyone else in.
You know, no, not established anyway.
Not established, but not even that. Like, even is there much potential in some of these players?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about them, to be quite honest. A couple of, you know, Leinster Senior League players and stuff like that. No, that's not saying nothing bad about the...
It's the players they've lost as well when you combine it. I mean, yeah. Conor Keeley gone out. He got a couple of goals last night for Ballymena, actually. His first two goals for the club, so fair play to him on that. Shane Barnes had a real hot streak at the start of last year. I know he kind of tapered off after that, but John mentioned earlier he's definitely a player with potential, and their goalkeeper, Mick Kelly, now back at Longford Town, and he had some really, really fine performances in Stradbrook in recent years. So when you look at the players they brought in, the players that gone out, could be a very, very tough season for Cabinteely indeed.
Yeah, it's very weighted towards players that have gone out. So look, I think, you know, it's, as I said numerous times already, it's going to be a time will tell job, but I can't see past Cabinteely being towards the bottom end of the table at the end of the year.
Getting hard to predict this one, because you're looking at the Wexford signings, and a lot of them, we're really just going off potential here, aren't we? Jack Connolly's actually arrived from Cabinteely. He was with Sunderland's under 23s. So does he just need to get a run of games to see the best of him? Who else have we got? Paul Fox actually is also signed from Cabinteely. But you've got Jimmy Corcoran, that he was the third choice goalie at Dundalk last year. He's gone down there. Alex O'Hanlon, be quite an established name. He's on loan from Shelburne. Kyle Robinson on loan from Pats. Luke Turner on loan from Aberdeen. So a lot of loan signings. Again, it might take them a while to bed in. I'd probably go a draw here, but if I'm looking for a winner, it's probably going Wexford. I'll call this 0-0. John?
I'm going to go 2-1 Wexford.
Okay, and Gary?
2-0 Wexford.
Yeah, I know that you've both gone for Wexford wins there, but we're probably right in saying that could go either way, that game. It's just one of them hard ones to call. Let's move on to another very, very interesting game in the First Division. That's Bray Wanderers against Treaty. We'll hear from the Treaty United chairman, Con Murray, after this. A really good chat with him as Treaty gets set to enter into League of Ireland life. But John, Bray narrowly missed out on the title last year. They'll be eager to get off to a good start here.
Yeah, they will. And, you know, I suppose this is a tricky one for them, because this is Treaty's first match in the league and they will be bang up for it. And
they've looked decent in pre-season, Treaty. I know that's nothing to go off, especially as Longford fans. We should know that by now, not to read into pre-season results. But for a squad that was put together so quickly, they look quite a well-managed unit.
Yeah, well, they've got a good manager there, haven't they? Let's face
Indeed.
It. He knows,
yeah.
knows what exactly what he's doing at this level, and he'll have them well set up. And, you know, there's a lot of players there, again, from non-league, but they've signed some decent players there. You know, the likes of Charlie Fleming and Joel Coustrain and Dean George. They've a bit of something about them. And, like I say, they'll be well up for this match. And I could actually see him getting something at Bray.
Wow, yeah. Other impressive signings, Tyg Ryan, Mark Ludden, Connor Melody, just to name a few, Dean George from Athlone. Gary, do you think Treaty can get off with some points on the board here in the League of Ireland?
Yes, in the League of Ireland, not the Champions League. But no, I think you know, they brought in a lot of established players. You mentioned the like of Mark Ludden, rather, but also a lot of local players that, you know, mightn't be just, they'll certainly be up for his first game of the season. You know, you want your first game in existence in the League of Ireland to be a positive, have a positive outcome. But I think it's going to be more, you know, is it, will they have enough against a really probably sore Bray Wanderers team who missed out on the playoff, missed out on winning the league and then got battered in the playoffs? Not battered, but you know, they fell at the first hurdle. So is that going to be enough for Bray to really show up and put their stamp on the league? I think it will. I think Gary Cronin has a good few years under his belt now.
Could they split? We think Galway and Shells will be the top two. Could they split those and even finish above them?
I do, actually. I think, you know, they did lose some players, but I think there were players that them, I don't know, to a certain extent, they were happy to let go, maybe. And they brought in some players that they really wanted. So I think with Gary Cronin there, he's learned a lot. I think he'll have them up and running, and they'll be in the mix come the end of the season. I don't think they'll be in the mix for the title, but certainly they'll be well comfortable in the playoffs.
I think they could easily match it with the top two, mix it with the top two. Look at the players they've brought in: Richie O'Farrell from Drogheda, Connor Clifford from Derry, Brandon Kavanagh alone from Shamrock Rovers. I know they've lost Callum Thompson, as you said, but I think when you look at the strength of that midfield, some of the experienced players that are already there at Bray from last season, and those new faces coming in, and you've got a proven goal scorer in Gary Shaw, I think they can be right up there, John Breyer.
Yeah, I think they can. Yeah, and they might pip Galway for second, you know, because I don't think Galway are going to win it, as you boys think. But I think their key signing is Connor Clifford, and I was surprised they actually beat a number of top division clubs off to sign Clifford. I heard you know, player that was really in demand, and he will really solidify their midfield. But it's, you know, he obviously needs to have a good season, but. They've been the nearly team, haven't they, most years? And are they going to do that again? That's the question. They just seem to be there or thereabouts, but, you know, always the bridesmaids, never the bride.
Great to be back talking First Division football. We're going to hear from Con Murray in a moment. Prediction time for this one, lads. I'll start off this time. I think Bray will have enough. I'll go 2-0 Bray. John?
Yeah, I was going to go 2-0 Bray as well. You know, I think Treaty will be well up for it. I'd love to see him do well first match of the season. You know, but I think Bray probably have a little bit too much for them. 2-0.
Guy?
Yeah, I'll follow you. 2-0 as well.
Very good. Okay, let's hear from the Treaty United chairman, Con Murray. Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the line this week by Con Murray, the chairman of Treaty United. Treaty set fair for their bow at League of Ireland level. And Con, you got off to your first win in senior football, a win over Athlone in a friendly, but I'm sure you'll be hoping for 3 points on the opening night.
Oh, God, yes. And it was great to get back to the Market Hills to actually have a game against a very, very substantial side, in fairness, and for the lads to do well. And they worked extremely hard. And what they're demonstrating is that we're here to participate in a real competitive way in the coming season. And it bodes well. It's been a long process. We're there now, and we're looking forward to the season.
Yeah, we'll certainly talk about the on-pitch side of things shortly. But obviously, this is Treaty's first season in the League of Ireland, so we'll start with the off-the-field matters. With everything that's going on in the world at the moment, was there ever a moment of reflection where you paused and said, maybe this isn't the year to enter the league, maybe we should wait another year? Was there ever a doubt in your mind that Treaty would enter the league this season?
No, I won't say there was a doubt. There was definitely an ambition to get there, but we also understood the reality and the challenges that were coming down our way. And I suppose we'd have accepted if we had to wait that little bit longer. But we really, for the sake of getting League of Ireland soccer back in the Midwest, I think it was critically important that we take to the field this year. And that's not taken away from the fact that the women led the way for us in 2020 and did exceptionally good bringing Treaty to the fore. And we just needed to build on that this year to keep that level of momentum going and getting the support. And certainly what we have seen in terms of the enthusiasm and the excitement that has come with the announcement of being back in the league, I think people wouldn't have waited another season. Mm. I think that's important.
Yeah, because I know when you when Treaty launched the membership package recently, my social media that day, scrolling, Treaty is all that was coming up. It was fantastic to see. So I assume you were probably slightly concerned when you realised, at least for half of this season anyway, there's not going to be fans coming into the ground. You're a new entity into the League of Ireland, so it might be slightly difficult to create certain attachments, but already it seems like the people of Limerick, the sporting public, are rowing in behind Treaty United.
Yeah, well, I think you have to remember there's a strong heritage and a history here of League of Ireland football, senior football in the Midwest. And like the glory days are still looked back on, and people want that to come back again. And then in fairness, like they've participated at a very high level in the last 15 years as well. So there's a genuine support and an eagerness to have that level operating in the Midwest. So I think when people saw it was coming back, they saw what we were trying to do. We've created a not-for-profit organization that its intent is very clear. Anything that we raise, it goes back into development of football. And that's from the youngest age groups that we can right up until the senior level. And so that's the way we started, Kieran. That's the way we intend to continue. It's been a daunting process, no doubt about that, but a rewarding one in terms of knowing the standards that we have had to achieve in such a short space of time. And the biggest challenge we had in the end, quite honestly, was would Tommy get a team together in such a short space? It did. And I think we have put a very good squad together and a very competitive squad.
Yeah, I spoke to Tommy recently here, and we mentioned that very small window that the club had to go and attract players. And Tommy said, ideally, maybe in the future, it's something the FEI might look at, that if new clubs are entering, that there's perhaps a greater window, because, as we said, Treaty only had a couple of days really to put a squad together. Is that something you'd echo, that, look, this year, it's a difficult year for everyone, administrators, the association, with everything else that's going on. It's just an unfortunate thing that happened, but maybe other clubs that are currently outside of the League of Ireland will have a view to maybe in the future joining the league. It's something that might be slightly off-putting, so it's something that might need to be addressed going forward.
Yeah, look, as I said, it was a fairly extensive process that we were engaged in, and I can understand why it takes that length of time. Definitely, if it can be moved back in terms of where it begins, you'll certainly see the space emerging. But yeah, it was difficult in terms of the pressure that we were left under. But I understand why, and I think, like everything else, I think the FAI are learning new lessons every day as well. And in fairness to them, I'm watching how they're adapting to the new challenges that are out there, and hopefully we'll continue to see the type of progress that they are making and the type of improvements that I think we all know were necessary.
You mentioned it a couple of minutes ago, a great heritage, a great history of League of Ireland football in Limerick, but of course it's been a fractious and a messy history at times as well. I assume you feel a great responsibility and a great pressure to get this project right. You've mentioned there wanting to bring the glory days back, but of course everyone has to remember this is going to be a slow and steady process, because it's important to, you know, get the foundations right and set themselves up, not for the next 5 years, but the next 10, 20, 30 years in the league.
Yeah, look, since the beginning, we've said that, look, this is a five-year program for us in terms of getting ourselves to a position where we can talk about sustainability. And that's the one challenge that faces any League of Ireland squad at the moment is that future. And it's all down to finance and support. And the challenge of the current year, not being able to get people into the stadium itself, is certainly a big issue. And that's how we're all trying with the streaming, and the opportunity for people to engage through social media is so important, particularly in the current year. But it's not a sprint by any stretch. This is a long-term operation. That's why we've structured ourselves in the way that we have, Kieran. As I said, it is a not-for-profit company. I have an extraordinary bunch of people brought around the table who are both business-orientated and football-orientated. And the cross is very strong in that regard. But it is with a view to structuring and putting a governance in place that will bring stability to League of Ireland Soccer. Now, there will be challenges ahead. There is no doubt about that. And we are absolutely dependent on the support of the community, because we believe we should be and are a community-based organisation.
We've already touched on the fact that there has been great uptake in the membership. In terms of attracting local sponsors and local business, how difficult has that been? Not only the fact that you're a new club, obviously, and everyone's still getting familiar with Treaty, but the fact we're in a global pandemic, some businesses aren't trading. How has that been?
I think it's extremely challenging. And in fairness, it's not that Treaty are new. Interestingly enough, the support has been there. But the normal comment is we're just in difficulty ourselves in terms of trading. But as soon as they get themselves back on their feet, they're going to support us. But having said that, I've also got a very strong response from some of the corporates in terms of supporting us to this day. And our sponsor that was announced on the weekend for the men's jerseys, UPMC, have really come full scale behind us, which was fantastic.
And what is their background?
UPMC are the University of Pittsburgh Medical Centre. They're based in Ireland. They have a huge presence. I think they're best known, I think, for the support they're giving Waterford United in terms of the medical care and looking at particular areas of concussion and so on. So they're a hospital based, or let's say medical care services across the country. They're basing themselves as well in Limerick itself. They're tied into the University of Limerick and LIT. And so we believe that will be a very strong partnership moving into the future.
That's excellent. That's great. I'm sure that takes a huge weight off your shoulders, knowing that you've got that main jersey sponsor sorted as well ahead of the year.
Oh yeah, that was very important. And as I said, again, the pressure just was a time issue more than anything else. People were there to support us, but getting everything in place was a wee bit of a challenge. But it's there. They were with us last Saturday, thankfully, and we look forward to getting their brand out there, just like EI Electronics, who were a huge supporter of ours last year for the women's, and they've come back on board again this year. And without that type of support and commitment, no League of Ireland squad, in my view, would survive. So that's all around the country. But we're very fortunate with what we have around us.
And what's your own background in your own relationship with the League of Ireland, Con?
I suppose it's a strange one. Look, I'm a Meath man and born and bred playing Gaelic football for Navan O'Mahony's, and then started playing soccer with Parkville and Leinster Senior. So that goes back a little bit when the legs would move. But in recent years, I've been working with a small club called Sean Trad and building it up from 10, 15 kids to 150. And I help out with the coaching and the 14s and 15s. So that's if you like where I've come from. But in every place that I've worked in public service, I have been involved in helping out at local level, whether it's in Waterford, Dundalk, Drogheda, in places like that, where, as you can appreciate, there is a huge presence in terms of League of Ireland soccer. In fact, when we stayed in Dundalk, we actually stayed literally opposite Oriel Park. So I witnessed firsthand what Dundalk and Drogheda are like.
That's the dream, I suppose, going forward. But my next question for you, you mentioned at the start of the call before we started recording, you're still getting to learn little areas of the league and things like that. How have you found dealing with other clubs and other chairmen so far?
Again, we've been received with open arms, I have to admit. They've been very supportive, going back over the last 12 months now, just giving us guidance and help and support on the learning curve. Obviously, some of the team I have around me are very familiar with League of Ireland, so they know their ways around it. Our club secretary, John Fennessy, is incredible. Dave Mahidi is well known in the football circles. Those are the people whom I turn to keep me on side and as we go forward. So the help is there. The clubs have been phenomenal in terms of bringing us on board. And as I say, once that type of collegiality exists, I can see a future for seriously working together in terms of what we want to achieve.
Brilliant stuff. Let's turn our attentions to on-the-field matters. So your first game is against Bray Wanderers, who missed out so narrowly last season on the title. So it's a great first game for Treaty United to be involved in.
Oh, it's a huge challenge. In fairness, they're a fantastic club, very good team, and an amazing opportunity for our lads to stretch their legs in a real way and find out just where do we stand. And I would recognise the lads have had a very short pre-season. And this will be a huge, difficult challenge for our lads going up to Bray. But I have no doubt we put it up to them as best we can. So we're looking forward to a result. Isn't that what we always have to say?
Yeah, sure, that's what it's all about. And I suppose you can take some encouragement as well, aside from Shamrock Rovers too, when they came into the league last year. If you go back to the last team to come into the league, that was, of course, Cabinteely, and they won their first game against Wexford, who actually went on to win the league that year. So who knows what will happen?
Exactly. Oh, look, we'll be there to do our best. We're looking forward to meeting with our counterparts up in Bray. And it is our first step into League of Ireland. It's daunting, but exciting at the same time.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Con, from everyone here at Between the Stripes, the very best of luck to yourself and to Treaty United. You're very welcome to the League of Ireland family, and we're looking forward to giving you plenty of coverage this season.
Delighted, and thank you very much for taking the time, Kieran. Much appreciated.
Keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news and updates by following us on social media. Search for Between the Stripes on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, on to the Premier Division games this weekend. We'll start with the live game on RT on Friday night. That is Waterford against Sligo. As I said a little bit earlier on in the show, we'll be doing the BTS boot room. I'll have a Waterford and a Sligo fan live on shortly after the full-time whistle. So check out our Twitter, Facebook and YouTube for that on Friday night. But we'll start with yourself, John. Waterford, very, very poor in the first game. Sligo, maybe they left 2 points behind them, maybe they didn't, but a decent start. They'll go down to Waterford looking for 3 points here, no doubt.
Well, first things, I'm very surprised they didn't have champions-elect Longford Town on instead of Waterford Sligo, you know, for the live match. But anyway, we'll park that until the next game. But Waterford Sligo, Waterford very disappointing. I think Sligo can go here and actually beat Waterford. I think they've got good players with Sligo. They've obviously got a couple coming into, you know, hopefully the start of the season well. They can't have another goalkeeping error like last week, so I think Sligo will actually go to Waterford and win this one. I'm a little bit worried for Waterford. I know it's so early in the season, but just a little bit worried about them.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see how Drogheda were absolutely hammered in the betting before the first game. They were opened up 8-5, and they actually went off odds on. So a lot of people obviously share the view that Waterford are going to have a slow start to the season. And just speaking about young McGinty there, he'll certainly have a good opponent to learn off here. Murphy at the other end is going to have he's going to have a monstrous season, I think, if Waterford are going to stay up or, you know, have any sort of a respectable season at all, Gary.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I just don't see anything from Waterford out of the season. It's going to be, you know, keeping their head above water for most of the season. I just don't see any cohesion or just nothing, really. And I think, you know, even from that Drogheda game the other night, they never looked like they were going to do much, you know, other than play out for the draw. So I think, as you mentioned earlier, that Sligo will feel hard done by leaving the 2 points behind them, especially with that referee rubbish. So they'll be well up for this game. Long old trip down to Waterford, but I think Sligo will have the better of them, and I'd say probably going to be 2-0 as well.
We've spoken a lot about Waterford and the players they've brought in maybe not been up to scratch. One thing we actually haven't discussed, and probably the most obvious thing, John, is the managerial situation there. Sheedy and Newell gone in. This is Sheedy's first. He's 61 years of age, I think I'm right in saying. This is his first senior management job. It looked a strange appointment at the time. Put Park his legendary status within Irish football to the side for 1 minute. What do you make of the setup there?
Don't know. It's all a little bit bizarre, isn't it? It's one of these that's, I can't see how it's going to work. I mean, at that age, surely you've had your managerial career somewhere before this. Yeah, I think it can only end in tears, this one.
And of course, Newell was sent off, wasn't he, in the Drogheda game? I think he got into a bit of a barking match with Gary Deegan, and that's something you certainly don't want to be at.
It wouldn't be like Gary Deegan to get involved with anybody, would it?
look, John's given us his, or was it you, Gary, give us your prediction, 2-0. John, give us yours.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Sligo.
Yeah, I'll follow you on that one. Let's move on to Bowes against the champions elect, Longford Town. Bowes, they'll be a little bit sore after that result in Finn Harps. They've taken a bit of criticism since a good chance for them to bounce back here. As good as Longford were against Derry, they'll be looking at this as a newly promoted team coming up to Daly Mount, and they'll be eager to put their mark down for the season, John.
Yeah, well, like we say, it's the champions elect, isn't it? So we're really only talking about goal difference. So, you know, it's 5-0, 6-0 maybe, Kieran. No, let's be serious. The Bows are going to be desperate to bounce back after that poor start to the season. But I have to say, if Longford play like they did in that first match, they've got every chance of going to Bows and getting something. Although that might be the old red-tinted specs. What do you think?
I don't know. Gary, what do you think?
Look, from the bit of the Bowes game I didn't see too much up there. It was interesting that Huey didn't start that game on Saturday. So, will he start? I was talking to a couple of Bowes fans and they were saying that they're really concerned about where they're going to get their goals. So, is it going to be a case of, you know, will Huey, you know, come into the game later on? Oh yeah, but even just in this game by itself, will he start? Will he, you know, how much of that game is he going to play? It's kind of up in the air as to what Keith Long will do. I can see Longford putting in a similar type of performance again, and it would be very interesting if Keith Long didn't pay attention to that Derry game at Bishopsgate last week and plan accordingly. As we said, Longford, when I looked at their squad and the first team that Dara was putting out, I was like, what is going on here? Is he well? And that's not a disrespect to the individuals. It was just like, as a team, as a whole, I just didn't see how it was going to work. And I was completely wrong. And Derry were overridden in the game completely at all angles. So if Bowes can look at that game as, oh yeah, newly promoted team coming up to Daly Mount, you know, I don't just see it being a walkover for Bowes at all. And, you know, last time Longford and Daly Mount took them to penalties in the cup, and that was with a significant, well, probably not significantly, but a well weaker team than what Longford have now. So if Bowes need to have a bit of respect, let's say, to Longford, it's not going to be an easy game for them at all. And I don't want to call Longford just because I'm a Longford fan, but, you know, this isn't going to be a walk in the park at all for Bowes. So, the best I can do for Bowes would be 1-1.
Yeah, I'll happily follow you on that one. As you said, Bowes, they should know exactly what they're getting here, because Longford went up there last season and were brilliant in that cup game. Up until the win over Derry, I actually thought that performance, even though Longford went out that night on penalties, I thought that was their best performance under Dara Doyle until the game against Derry the other night.
Which is sad, because that was his first game managing the team. And we did win the playoffs last year, of course, Kieran, don't forget that.
Yeah. But the point I was going to make, it doesn't matter if it's Heary or any player. I don't think you put any half-fit player into a midfield against Bulger and Durbin, because they're just two absolute terriers.
But they're savages, yeah.
They're absolute sow pigs, the two of them, in the midfield.
Yeah,
they just love a tackle. They're just, you know, there's not many players like them around. They just absolutely love the nitty-gritty side of the game. They love to get stuck in. They almost need to get a kick before they get motoring. That kind of drives them on for the night. So I don't think you want to be putting any player in there that's maybe 50, 60, even 70%, because I think they'll get overrun eventually. But as we said, the fitness levels of this Longford team is something I think a lot of fans, when they eventually see Longford in action, will be very surprised by. So Bowes, slow start to their season. They'll be looking to bounce back, but I think Longford have enough to leave Daly Mount with a point. I think Longford fans would be more than happy with that. John, the decisive call goes to you.
I'm going to go 2-1 Bowes.
I know.
But
who's going to score for Bowes, John?
I don't know. But probably get a couple of set pieces or something. You know, we can.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good point you raised, John, because I thought the only area Longford looked vulnerable against Derry was set pieces. We know the issues Longford had last season with set pieces. They cannot afford to give away goals against teams like Bowes from set pieces.
No, and that could be the issue, you know, for Longford. But I'm just remembering last time when Longford went to Bowes, Durbin, you were talking about, he had the his life up there, didn't he?
He did, he did. Look, we've spent enough time on that one. John, you've put a bit of a dampener on it there by going for Bowes. I'm not sure why we brought you back onto this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much, John.
Let's move on to Pats against Drogs. You heard from Stephen O'Donnell a little bit earlier on. He's not expecting this to be easy at all. Drogheda absolutely flying high after that win over Waterford. But Pats, we saw plenty of positives for them against Drogheda. John, I'll go to you first. This is going to be another tight game.
It's going to be a very tight game. I can't actually pick this one. This was the one I really struggle with because, you know, Drogheda got off to the good start. And, you know, we always get excited about Pats. We always say it. Mm. And, you know, I just got a sneaking suspicion Drogheda might get something here. They might win this one.
Ooh, big call. Big call.
Right, yeah.
You've gone from one opposite to the other. We should have deducted you a point in our predictions game because you went for 3-0 Rovers. That was the worst prediction of the week so far.
Do you know what? I'll still win it, Kieran. So you deduct all you want, mate. I don't think you've ever beaten me, have you?
I don't think I've ever beaten you in the five seasons on this show. But no.
I'm here now, John. Don't worry. Yeah. Take that crown off you.
Oh, well, we'll see. We'll see.
Gary, what do you think? What do you make of this one?
I'm going to buy into the endless hype of Pats. I think... I know I'm going to regret it. I'll be sitting here next week going, oh, what a clown I am. But I think just at home, some of the players that, you know, I thought Chris Forster really probably, would you say it was one of his better performances since he came back?
I thought it was one of them games again where he was in and out, but he certainly saw glimpses that would encourage me.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think
they've got a very good midfield. They've got a very good midfield. Forrester, Coote, Benson, they've got a great midfield. It's just what we said at the start of the show. Coughlin doesn't click. They're relying on those players from midfield, whereas I look at Drogheda, they've got Lyons, they've got Denny Corcoran, they've got Ronan Murray. Oh, I think this will be a really good game of football to watch. Two teams that like to get it down and play. I'm going to go for a high-scoring draw, 2-2.
Oh, Ginny. I was very close to you there, but I'm going to go 2-1, Pats.
And I think John has gone 2-1 Pats as well. So that brings us to...
Whoa, stop there. I've been raving about Drogheda. You're telling me off.
Sorry.
1-1, Kieran.
Oh, you've gone 1-1. Okay. Right. Last game of the show is Dundalk against Harps. And before we go tonight, we'll hear audio from Shane Keegan. I've been a very busy man catching up with all of these over the last couple of days. But where do we go first with this one? Will we talk about Harps or talk about Dundalk first, John?
Well, I think we have to talk a bit about Dundalk first, don't we? I mean, you've probably seen a bit more of them in that first match. What are you making of them?
As we said, it was a bit of a game where they were in and out of the game. They had spells where they were on top, and then they had spells where they looked a little bit vulnerable. They're going to be without their two international players for this one. You'll hear it from Shane Keegan. This strange rule where games can only be postponed if you're getting call-ups for players to the Republic or the Northern Irish senior sides. Dundalk are without Jurkovskis. He's gone to the Latvian setup, and of course, Natishtad called up to the Faroe Islands. So they're without those two players, so they have to do a bit of mixing and matching at the back. They're unsure whether Brian Gartland will be fit enough for this one. Up top, there's still a bit of a wrestling match, I feel, going on between Hoban and McMillan over who the main man is there. I don't know. I just think it might take Dundalk a little bit of time to settle into this season, but surely they have enough to beat Finn Harps. No disrespect to Finn Harps. They got that great win against Bowes, but coming down to Oriel, different kettle of fish altogether, isn't it?
Yeah, very different. And, you know, I expect Dundalk to win this. I mean, they can forget about any chance of winning the league if they can't beat Harps at home, Kieran. They've got this down as 3 points. And if you want a prediction, I think they've got to win this quite comfortable. I think it'd be 3-0.
Okay. Gary, I know that sounds a bit extreme from John in terms of saying if they want to be winning the league, they need to win games like this. But Dundalk they'll be acutely aware of the slow start they had last season. The title race was done before it started. So John is absolutely spot on in what he says there. They need a good start, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Like, you know, they kind of argued like, who felt worse last week in the Sligo game? I felt Sligo, but sure, Dundalk fans feel hard done by, probably feel hard done by the whole thing. But I think Dundalk, they need to be targeting this game, regardless of what player has been called up to an international team. That's what happens when you get players from overseas. They knew the rules. The rules are the same for everybody, so that's tough. But
I think the point is they actually didn't know the rules. Shane Keegan has said he didn't know this rule. I certainly didn't know. I think a lot of people didn't know, but that's because we've, over the last couple of years, it's a good thing. We've seen more international players coming into the league, whereas before it was predominantly Irish players, but it's something that'll have to be looked at next year, I think.
And that is something that Dundalk fans should be quite annoyed about. Probably the most valid thing that they should be annoyed about in the last little while.
And it could worse. It could get worse as the season goes on as well, because Abebe is on the verges of perhaps of an international call up as well. So that would definitely test that goalkeeping situation that we've kind of looked at times on this show. So look, as you said, Gary, that's what comes with signing international players, and it looks like they're going to bolster the ranks further with two more overseas arrivals, one from South Korea and a player that played in the MLS. You know, very, very high profile signings these at Dundalk. With the players they're bringing in, I think they can only be thinking about the title, nothing else. Interesting to note as well, another strange kind of rule. Nathestad has now picked up a suspension for that red card in the President's Cup. And it's a 2-game ban he's received. And he's going to be banned, this game that he's missing will not count. So he'll be banned for the games against Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians. So he's going to miss out on two massive games. So this is a really, really important game for Dundalk. On paper, you look at it, Dundalk against Harps, you think, Grant, Dundalk win. They need a win. They probably need to win quite convincingly, not in terms of the scoreline, but in terms of a good performance, because those next two games coming up are absolutely huge, John. They need a good start to the season.
Yeah, they have to. They limped last season, so they won't want to repeat that. And, you know, I completely stand by the fact that they have to get 3 points here. I know it's so early in the season to say it, but, you know, you can't see the likes of... you know, if they want to be 100% title contenders, and that will be the aim, to win the league, make no bones about it, they have to win this.
Yeah, I think there's huge pressure on them this year with the recruitment they've done. You know, that can't be a small wage bill. And as I said, I was up. We'll hear this interview in a second now with Shane Keegan. I was up at Oriel today for the press conference, and I was in the training base, the YDC. The facilities there are absolutely incredible, lads. I mean, it's a completely different world to some of the other clubs. I mean, the players literally have everything handed to them. They're so well looked after. The facilities are top-notch. You know, we talk about Oriel for spectators that, you know, it needs an upgrade. But in terms of what the players have there...
That's an understatement.
It's absolutely incredible. So they need to be returning on this investment. And I think this is a big test for them against a stubborn Finn Harps team that are arriving full of confidence, and everyone, including ourselves, will write off in Harps, and their players will rub their hands together and say, yeah, let's have a bit of this. So look, let's get predictions. I think Dundalk will have more than enough here. I'll go 2-0 for Dundalk. John has gone 3-0. Gary, over to yourself.
I will stick with 2-0 Dundalk. I think they have enough across the pitch and in their squad to take care of Harps.
Very good. Look, let's hear from Shane Keegan now.
I'm here with Shane Keegan ahead of the game against Finn Harps. Shane, we'll look back at the first game first. Sligo, slightly disappointing?
Frustrating was probably nearly the word I'd use, more so than disappointing. It was a game that, look, I thought we were well on top for the first 20 minutes, and when we went 1-0 up, we should have been capable of going and killing the game from there. We weren't. We let them right back into it, and they deservedly, you know, got level. And then the second half mirrored it. Again, we started very strongly. We had a couple of great chances in those first 15, 20 minutes. You get that second goal, put yourself 2-1 up, and you're definitely thinking, right, now we need to go and we kill the game from there. But because we never got the goal, they grew in confidence, and let's be perfectly honest about it, we were hanging on big time for the last 15, 20 minutes when they kind of threw everything at us. We were the ones very much on the back foot. So it was the sort of game where I think both teams are probably, you know, both teams are annoyed. Both teams are frustrated with not having got 3 points. But I suppose from our point of view, a point away at Sligo, in the grand scheme of things, might not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I was just saying to Patrick as well, traditionally Dundalk actually start quite slowly on the opening day. By the Derry game last year, there was either draws or defeats on the opening day, so it's something traditionally that hasn't worked out too badly for Dundalk. But we saw the aerial ability of your team in the President's Cup, big Sonny Nattestad with the header, and you know, you're quite a physically imposing team, so I assume you're very frustrated and disappointed to concede the goal the way you did in Sligo.
Yep, definitely. Look, I don't think we've made any secret of the fact that, you know, some of the recruitment was based around, well, as all recruitment should be, or recruitment should be based around trying to solve your weaknesses, and we had problems with set pieces last year, so we specifically got a few fellas that we thought would help us solve that problem, and I still do think they will help us solve that problem over the course of the season. I'm hoping last week's goal will be, you know, an anomaly rather than something that's going to happen on a regular basis. But yeah, it was very disappointing to concede the goal in that manner. Even more frustrating when you watch it back and you see that we allowed the free kick to be taken 10 yards in advance of where the free was actually given away, and that's our fault more so than the refs, because we should be all over them if something like that happens. So we need to be cuter to that first, and then we need to just go and defend it better. Look, it's a very good header, to be fair to him as well, so it is. But yeah, that was probably the most frustrating element of the game, Ari Kieran, yeah.
And you'll definitely be tested in the air against Finn Harps. They are a team that like to play direct, so I assume there's been a lot of work on the training ground here this week.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say there has, all right. Yeah, look, they've always been experts at it, really, so they have, both in terms of the quality of the delivery. You know, Ryan Connolly's delivery has been excellent for them, and then when you've got so many targets, you look at the back five that they finished with the last day, with Ethan Boyle on one side, Webster on the other, and Siddiqui, McElhenney and Folan as your three. I mean, that is about as big as it gets. And then a Foley at centre forward as well is another man well able to contribute there. So I think, to be honest with you, it's kind of a good thing, because, you know, we're looking to focus the minds on doing better defensively on set pieces. You know, if this challenge doesn't focus the minds on it, nothing will. Now the challenge is to stand up to it. And look, I think that it presents opportunities for us as well. So it does, if we can defend them correctly, you know, it may present opportunities for us in different ways as well, you know.
What's the latest squad news ahead of the game?
We're 10, is the latest squad news. We had only 18 last week. Obviously, we're now allowed to name 20 now. We had only 18 last week. And of those 18, we've lost two, obviously, with the two boys heading away on international duty. So we currently have 16 bodies for this weekend. Brian Gartland participated in training today. That might get him back in the picture. He might be fit enough to come back in, but he's probably the only one that might be able to add to that number. But look, I suppose it's light in quantity rather than quality, which is, I'd rather be that way around than the other way around. You know, there's still plenty. The 16 or so bodies that we will have are all real, real quality players, none of whom you'd be afraid to throw onto the pitch, and potentially, you know, we'll still have a really strong starting 11. We'll still have match winners on the bench. So it shouldn't be a major problem for us.
And local reports here suggest that you're set to bolster that squad. Can you give us any more on that?
Look, we're just over the line with Han, so we are, it's dotting the I's and crossing the T stage at this stage, but obviously that stage can take a day or two, there's a bit of a rush on to see, can we get him done and dusted to make him available for Friday. He would be a great addition because of that lightness on numbers. Now obviously, look, there'll be a bit of match sharpness missing, and different stuff like that, but still, look, he's a guy who can be a very, very good weapon for us, there's no doubt. I think we're all excited about his arrival and getting him onto the field. So if he was an option there that we could spring with 10 minutes left if needed, I think that would be a big boost. But yeah, at the moment we just need to kind of get our heads down, do what we can on the paperwork point of view over the next day or two, and see can we get him eligible for the game.
And Wilfred Zahibo?
Yeah, that one's still a bit further away. It is one that we're obviously very, very interested in, and you know, gone a long way with the talks and all of that kind of stuff. We'd like to think that that's one that could happen, but it's nowhere near as progressed as the Han one. It could be a bit further away yet.
And look, finally, you've been outspoken on this international rule, which myself included, I had absolutely no idea about. I always assumed two international call-ups was two call-ups, but apparently it has to be Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland. I know you've been speaking that, hopefully maybe next season this is something the clubs will look at, but it's a real head scratcher, isn't it? Because every other league, international call-ups is international call-ups.
It just seems really, really strange. I don't understand what the logic behind it was when the rule was being drawn up, and then to compound it, this crack with Sonny's suspension is just incredible. That he that we can't get the game off even though he's away in international duty, and we can't use up one of his two-game suspension in the game because he's away on international duty. I mean, how on God?
Just on that red card, actually, is something we were discussing on the show last week. Do you know if he was sent off for the challenge, or was it the melee that ensued after? Did the referee maybe feel that he lent his head forward or something along those lines?
So I thought on the night, because the tackle looked good to me, I thought on the night that it had to be the melee after. But no, the referee's report came in and it was for the tackle. 100% it was for the tackle. Now, to be fair to the referee, I don't know if to be fair is the correct word to use, but the referee's report has stated that he felt he wasn't in control of the tackle. Okay. The referee's report also states that he made no contact with Shamrock Rovers player. The match report itself, the referee's report itself says that. But
have the club appealed it?
There was no grounds for an appeal. A straight red is a minimum 2 games. Okay. So there was no real grounds for appeal after that. But as I say, the fact now that one of those 2 games can't be served against Finn Harps, a game which we feel should be off because he's away on international duty, and the reason it can't be served is because he's on international duty, just seems like an absolute crazy double whammy. That obviously he's now going to miss the Harps one, he's going to miss the Rovers one, he's going to miss the Bows one, and you're into game 4 before he's back available for you for a tackle that was a brilliant tackle. A brilliant tackle, simple as.
Yeah, strange stuff. Shane, thanks for speaking to me.
Cheers, Kieran.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Right, that's bringing us towards the end of tonight's show. We're actually recording here in the middle of the Ireland game, and I hear we've gone 1-0 up, lads. Yep, go on, Kilkenny. But yeah, that's the sacrifices we make. I don't actually have it on here at the minute because we're so focused on the podcast. But another very enjoyable show, I have to say, lads.
Yep. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Falling over each other.
Yeah, really enjoyed it, Kieran. Thank you very much, and happy birthday again. You'll be hitting 40 now next year. Fair play to you.
I'm as grey as a badger as it is, so I might as well just make it 40 instead. I must have missed your card in the post. You too as well, John.
Yeah, it's not like me. I normally give you a load of stick on social media. There's time yet.
Lads, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks a million to our guests. It was a really jam-packed show this week, I have to say, but that's what we're all about here at Between the Stripes. So make sure you hit the subscribe button, leave a review, find us on social media, check out betweenthestripes.net. You'll find all of our favourite content, all of your favourite content, I should say, in one place. But for tonight, from Kieran, John and Gary, it's good night and God bless.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.